This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's happening? Tiki and Tierney, Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney on this Thursday, week three tonight. The stash, Gardner Minshew. I'm looking forward to watching this game tonight. I really am. I mean, I'm more looking forward to watching the Jags. I'm not going to lie to you. I've seen Ryan Fitzpatrick as a Jet. I've seen him as a Bill. I've seen him as a Titan. I've seen him basically everywhere. And no disrespect, the guy's made some money. He's tough. His teammates respect him. You know, if you tell me Tua's going to get in there tonight, now I'm really amped up for the game. I will give you, don't forget, Tiki, tomorrow, Sharp Tierney is back in the house. Week three.
Yes, he is.
And Sharp Tierney's off to a really good start. 6-4 week one, 7-3 in week two. So we're well over 60%. We've made everybody money. And every time I have a winning week, there will be an added prop. So make sure you watch us on the tube tomorrow. You're going to love what I bust out tomorrow.
That's great.
But I might give you a little freebie tonight. You ready? This doesn't count against the record. I'm going to give you a little freebie.
Go ahead.
The over tonight.
Definitely.
I like the over tonight.
Yeah, both these teams' offenses move the ball pretty effectively. Their quarterbacks, as we talked about just with Ryan Fitzpatrick, yes, he had a horrible week one, but week two was significantly better. There's some weapons. Devontae Parker has been a little bit of a disappointment injury-wise, but this kid, Isaiah, not really a kid, he's been around for four seasons now from Virginia Tech. Isaiah Ford is starting to step into a pretty big role, and he could play an important part for this offense. And Mike Gesicki had 100 yards, a tight end. Yep, he had 100 yards last weekend. So there's some offense for both of these teams, and the quarterbacks are smart. I mean, they are literally smart because they're smart men as individuals. Obviously, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is an Ivy League graduate, but I think they're good for their locker rooms. And I think that's important as these two teams are reestablishing culture in a sense, even if they're not the quarterbacks for the future. This is an interesting matchup, even though it's not like a high profile matchup for a Thursday night game.
No, but I'll tell you what, as crazy as this is going to sound crazy, It is week three, and if the Jaguars win, okay, suddenly you're 2-1. Mm-hmm. All right, Texans don't look very good in that division.
Nope.
I don't think that's going to change. The Colts, obviously, very strong on defense. And,
and
of course, the Titans pretty good. But, you know, with that third wild card, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but it's not completely inconceivable that a team that we had pegged, Dabo and Trevor Lawrence as a duo, they're going to be going to the Jaguars next year, right? I don't know. Maybe in December the Jags are chasing that wild card spot.
Yeah.
Who knows?
No, you're right. They could be. And, you know, Miami's not going to compete for the East because it's the Bills' division. Maybe the Pats are hang right there if they keep playing. Maybe they beat the Bills. So it's a two-man race, I think, in the AFC East between the Pats and the Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
But let's not forget, the Miami Dolphins have a ton of like talent on the defensive side of the ball. Some of it they drafted, the kid Christian Wilkins from Clemson, but Emmanuel Agba, who came in from Kansas City, Shaq Lawson, who came from Buffalo, Kyle Van Noy from New England, Byron Jones, they paid a ton of money, but I don't even think he's playing tonight. I think he's hurt. Yeah, with the groin and Achilles. All these Achilles.
Don't you tell me. I have no idea.
This one I don't get, man, because, I mean, it's not like a joint where you're not used to the hard cutting and the grind of playing actual football, not just going through the motions in your underwear, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
like the grind of cutting and slashing, like that hurts joints, but the Achilles is affected by that. But we've seen a lot of them this offseason already. I think it's at least been 4 or 5. And some of them, you know, happened before the first game of the season. So it's an interesting injury to keep an eye on. I don't know why we're seeing an increase in those.
I don't get it. It's from somebody who ruptured his Achilles.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, You tell me, all right, some of your quarter, you get hit or you get thrown on the ground, your clavicle cracks or your sternum gets blown up or
makes
your ACL.
Sense.
Or
that
your
all makes sense.
Yeah, your rotator, your contusions, concussions. But, yeah, it is odd. It's just the Achilles is becoming wildly unpredictable. Yeah. You heard about this so rarely back in the day.
That's right. It was like the devastating injury. Like, oh, my Lord, you tore your Achilles? Uh-huh. Like, oh, what the heck? We never see that. How did that happen? And now it's like we got six Achilles or five Achilles, whatever it is, this year already.
That's great. Well, maybe, you know what? Maybe our next guest knows. He knows certainly a lot about scoring. He knows about winning. He knows about yards. We're talking about Hall of Famer, the great Emmitt Smith, who's back with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's up there, Emmitt? How are you today, buddy?
Man, I'm good. How you guys doing over there?
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, we're hanging in. I know that you are as well, and hopefully your family is staying safe and everybody's doing okay despite everything that's going on. But let's jump into this Cowboys team, Emmitt. I mean, I know that the expectation – you have a new coach, so maybe that tempers it a little bit. But the expectation is there for because of the talent that is there, and Dak and Zeke and all the guys in the receiving core, they haven't played well in 2 weeks. I mean, they kind of got lucky last weekend and won the game, and I guess that's all that matters. You win the game, but why is there this disconnect from the expectation with this Cowboys team so far this season?
Well, TK, as you are aware, change is very difficult to try and be great at new things is very difficult for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
New scheme on defense. Offensively, obviously we still have Kellen as calling the plays, but and we just made some mistakes early, and you got to give credit to the Falcons, number one, for punching that ball out.
Yeah,
I mean that's just a technique that somebody wasn't even expecting. They wanted you weren't expecting the guy not to try attacking you, but just to bump into you and then punch the ball out. but nonetheless, it is football.
Yeah,
and the fundamentals have not changed. And I think what has happened over the last couple of weeks, we have not seen our guys, meaning the Dallas Cowboys, handle the fundamentals very well. And that's just been disappointing. But those are things that can get corrected. It's not that they're not playing hard, because they are playing hard. They are flying around the football and trying to get to the football. And it's just some things that we need to clean up. And it's just week two. It's just week two.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yes, you're right. We did get lucky. But, you know, some of the better teams pull out those kind of games.
Yeah. No,
and
you're right.
Maybe that's the character of who we are, and we're working towards – improvement, because we definitely have a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah.
But we got to do it quickly, because Russell Wilson.
he's no joke at all. That's coming this weekend, by the way. The Dallas Cowboys at the Seattle Seahawks. That's in the afternoon slot, 4:25 p.m. Eastern. Emmitt, do you like Coach McCarthy? Do you like what he's trying to do and bring here? It's hard to know exactly what's going on in there, because we haven't had tons of access from media because of the coronavirus. But do you like him?
Well, I've only met him one time. But I tell you what I do like about him. I respect just the simple fact that he's not making a ton of changes. Now, some things had to change. Defensively, we made some big changes over there.
Yeah.
Now, Richard over there and so forth and on. And Marinelli. But when it comes down to this offense, the offensive scheme is still there with the same old guy calling the plays. So he has eliminated a lot of the guesswork, if you will, from the offensive side of the ball. And he's seeing what talent he actually have and how talented the team really is. And I think he will, and they will, make adjustments as they go on. Defensively, that defense is going to get better as the season go on. The question is, will we be healthy enough as the season go on? Because this pandemic has changed a lot of different things. And so I respect what he's doing in terms of not making a ton of abrupt changes to where we're setting back a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I think he's allowing guys, and they're trying to figure this thing out. And we got to be patient as an organization. We got to be patient as fans.
Patient? You've been process. Patient for 20 years, man. Patient. Come on, Emmett.
But when you make a like this, when you make a change like this, he could have came in and blew up the whole offense.
Yeah,
and that would have said that further.
I hear you. I'm playing. You know I'm messing with you. Talking to Emmett Smith, Hall of Famer, eight Pro Bowls.
To your point, though, your point, it has been 20 years
yeah.
since we've had a level of success that we all want. But like I said, though, yeah, you can blow it up. It's going to set you back three more years.
Understood. No, you're not wrong, man. Totally get it. Let's face it. Before any Super Bowls happen, you got to start with a wild card or at least, you know, or division, you know, more favorably from Dallas's point of view. I wouldn't worry about the Giants yet. I wouldn't worry about Washington yet, although they're going to be tough and they're going to battle. And at this point, I really don't even know if I'd worry about the Eagles. What is your opinion? I know you dialed into your boys, but you got to check on the birds a little bit. What in the world is going on with Carson Wentz?
When it comes down to worrying about other teams, you know, anybody can be beaten on any given Sunday. The Eagles don't look as good as we thought that they would be looking this at this point. And, you know, the Cowboys have to be focused on the Dallas Cowboys and what we need to do to get better and to play better. If we just stay focused on that and improve week in and week out, then whether or not the Eagles have problems or the Giants have problems, it ain't going to really matter at that point because we're going to be playing at a level that they won't be able to compete at, even if they were doing pretty decent.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So that's what you're striving. That's what you're striving for. Now, you should never overlook any opponent. And Tiki knows better than knows that just like I know. I mean, you absolutely have to be locked in and on every team because when you're the Dallas Cowboys, every team brings their best. No matter whether or not they're hurt or not, every team is coming to dethrone the Dallas Cowboys because everybody wants a piece of America's team.
Yeah, dethrone them from that imaginary Lombardi trophy they just won last year, right? It's Emmett Smith in the house, and not just a great Cowboy and an all-time NFL great, a Gator luminary as well. And
yeah,
he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney CBS Sports Radio.
Emmett, tell us what you're working on with Johnsonville, the official sausage of the SEC. We know the SEC, along with the ACC and the Big 12, started on time. Looks like the Big 10 is going to start playing as well. But home gating is the new tale. You have to home gate because you can't go to any games. Well, some places you can. Down south, I think, is a little bit different than some of the places in the Northeast and maybe even the Midwest. But tell us about Johnsonville.
Yeah. Johnsonville and I have teamed up, obviously, to talk about the official sausage of SEC, but yet also just to talk about SEC home gating pros. I mean, they're right now we all have become pros at home gating because we've been quarantined for the last 6 months. And social distancing for the last 6 months. But now that the SEC is about to jump off this weekend, and there won't be bodies in the stands or bodies in the parking lot. Where will you tailgate at? Where will you home gate at? Probably at home, probably over your grill and creating snacks and everything else. And Johnsonville has created opportunities for people to win prizes, to earn bragging rights, and the winner can receive $10,000 alone and an opportunity to join Johnsonville on its 2021 SEC Championship tailgating tour, which is huge.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot that's going on around this Homegate Pro Contest. You can go to homegateprocontest.com to get more details around the information and how to participate in some of these opportunity to win prizes.
Yeah, no, that's great. HomegateProContest.com. I was down at Louisville last weekend, Emmett, doing Louisville, Miami, and there was a big-ass sign in the parking lot that said, no tailgating. There were about 20 trucks in there tailgating. So most people are doing it at home, but some people are doing whatever they want. Let me ask you about these running back situations, Emmett. I mean, you follow this just like I do. Christian McCaffrey, he's out 6 weeks. my guy up here, Saquon Barkley, he's done for the season. And, I mean, it sounds like that injury is bad. Hopefully he recovers like Adrian Peterson did, and it's really quick. But, I mean, it's surprising that these guys who are like really well physically put together are having some of these major injuries. I don't want to chalk it all up to the offseason and the lack of a preseason, but what do you think is going on with all of these injuries? I know you, like I was, were mostly durable for the entirety of your career, and you took a pounding. I mean, you weren't 200 carries a year. You were 400 carries a year. What's going on with these guys now?
Well, you know, there could be a number of different things here. And I don't want to necessarily blame it on the off season itself, but at the end of the day, that comes into mind. But also, you have to look at some of the surfaces that some of these guys are playing on. From my understanding, the surface up there at MetLife Field in week one,
yeah,
they had a couple pretty significant injuries as well. And so you follow that up this week. You might want to start looking at the surface and seeing if there's a surface issue there in New York City. And so it is unfortunate that we, that Shaquan, Christian McCaffrey, and many others, Bosa and all of those guys, sustained significant injuries. And I don't think it's because these guys didn't prepare themselves physically. I think the offseason created a different way for them to train and prepare themselves, unlike being around your peers where you're challenging and one another through workouts and everything else and pushing and competing to get on the football field. And so it is a little different. But I would go and say the NFL may want to take a peek at some of the surfaces that these teams have played, well, these guys have played on.
Emmett, always good having you on the show. That's Hall of Famer Emmett Smith, three-time champ, almost 19,000 yards on the ground. Just an amazing career and one of the really good guys that we get a chance to have on the show quite a bit. Appreciate you, man. Thank you very much.
You're a legend, Emmett. Appreciate you.
Hey, thank you, guys.
You got it. Emmett Smith in the house. We're going to get with Brady Quinn coming up next. So we'll go from a running back to a quarterback. And this will be great because we're just going to bounce around. You know, we'll hit a little something on Breeze, a little something on Minshew tonight, a little something on Josh Allen. You know,
something on Brady.
A little something on Brady for sure. A little something what Brady's seeing on Brady. But also all these quarterbacks around the league. Kyler Murray's ascension.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of
Josh
things.
Josh Allen, we always talk about. Wentz, yep. What's wrong with Wentz?
Oh, God, I almost forgot about it. We have to certainly probe into that a bit. So we'll really just cherry-pick the real topical storylines pertaining to the quarterbacks. You know what they are, but we'll get some real intel from a guy who played the position and is a great analyst, part of the CBS Sports HQ family. So we'll get with Brady coming up next. Appreciate Emmett, Tiki, and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. You can choose to have them delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35, or order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. You can have your battery tested free of charge while you're there. And if it needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle at a guaranteed low price. Like SuperStart batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a SuperStart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Toll free lines 1-855-212-4227 are brought to you by Geico. Right now, Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So, what are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com to learn a little bit more. Teek, we want to learn a little bit more about some quarterbacks that are just in the crosshairs, some for the right reasons, and obviously others are turning the corner, becoming stars. Somebody like Josh Allen got a lot of questions we want answered, and Brady Quinn, who obviously knows the position as well as anybody, former first-round pick, Golden Domer, and great analyst, CBS Sports HQ, has been cutting up the film, and he's got some good answers for us. Brady, Tiki, and Tierney, welcome back, man. How you been?
I've been well, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Really pumped up. We're going to kind of fire through a bunch of names, and you tell us, and obviously our audience, what you're seeing, if the criticism is justified, if it's a little bit early. What are you seeing when you watch Drew Brees play?
Well, look, I think I'm not going to pile on. Everyone else was saying, oh, his play is deteriorating. But I think if you go back to the second half of last season, even the playoffs, the one game versus the Minnesota Vikings, you could tell that he didn't seem to look quite as confident in the pocket. The zip on the ball wasn't quite there. And clearly, he's getting to the latter stages of his playing career. And we tend to forget, too, like he did have a completely reconstructive shoulder. There's a reason why the Dolphins didn't take him. So I think some of the concerns about, you know, his arm strength and some of that, it might be there. But to me, the bigger loss was not having Michael Thomas. You know, I'd like to see, you know, what he looks like either for a couple games without him to get a better idea.
Yep.
Or to see what happens when Michael Thomas comes back. But look, there's no doubt. I mean, he's at the end of his career. Father Time gets the best of all of us. He's had a Hall of Fame career. You can't take that away from him.
No, and no one's trying to. He's an all-time great. There's no doubt. I think that's a sensible read on Brees. What do you make of the early relationship, Brady, Arians, new team, new system, new verbiage? What are you seeing from Brady?
Well, look, I think he's starting to find more comfort and chemistry with Mike Evans and with the rest of the pass catchers there in Tampa. I mean, clearly week one, they didn't seem to be on the same page. And whether or not, you know, Mike Evans' injury played a factor in some of that, it definitely did on the one interception over the middle. But since then, it seems like they're getting more on the same page. He's getting more comfortable with everything around them. You know, my concern isn't so much with Brady and the system and Bruce Arians. Like, their relationship's fine. Like, trust me, Bill Belichick has probably coached them either the same or very similar to what Bruce Arians is doing. And Bruce Arians probably actually gives them some compliments or attaboys every once in a while. But my concern is their offensive line. I mean, you got a rookie right tackle. I think Wirfs has done okay. Donovan Smith was awful week one. He was a little bit better last week. But that's the really area you got to be concerned with, because he's always had the ability to step up in the pocket. He'd set the pocket deep, step up into it, be able to get the football off in time. If he can't do that, if he doesn't have two tackles who are able to run those DNs around the loop, around the horn, then he's going to have a hard time all, you know, this entire season. So that's more the concern with me. It's not Tom Brady. He's got plenty of arm strength left. I think the older player on that team that looks like he's going to struggle this year is Rob Gronkowski. The year off that he took, he just lacks explosion. He lacks the ability to really separate. I think he's almost kind of fallen behind those other tight ends where he's kind of an afterthought now.
Might have to get him in a steel cage pretty soon. Go get that belt back. That might be
24-7.
It's over to Brady Quinn, former first-round pick and CBS Sports HQ analyst, talking shop here on Tiki and Tierney.
BT and I, Brady, hit the Philadelphia Eagles and Carson Wentz. And look, I know a lot of this is the offensive line. Jason Peters is, I mean, he's 7 years old, younger than me. So, I mean, he's been in the game for a long time. They got a couple young guys that are starting, young wide receivers. But is there something wrong with Carson Wentz that we can't identify, or are we just making too much of an early part of the season?
It's probably a little bit of both. I mean, I see him forcing the ball a lot more, and I think in the past, you know, even last year, for example, you know, really when he didn't have many guys to throw to, Greg Ward really stepped up for him. You know, he was a much better decision maker down the stretch. And the odd thing was, is like, he kind of didn't really necessarily have to be, because he didn't have a ton of help.
Yeah.
So now he's got most of his guys back, and he's forcing the football more so than he really needs to. And so I think the biggest thing for him is he's pressing for whatever reason. I'm not sure if it's, you know, now because he's surrounded by so much and he's got everything with the exception of the offensive line, as you pointed out. Some of it's been due to pressure, but he's typically handled pressure pretty well. So it could be an overreaction to a couple of just, you know, tough early games, an offseason that really wasn't, and with some new pieces that they're still trying to get back, you know, and develop chemistry with for this year. But, you know, as far as his play goes, it definitely feels like he's pressing like they're in the final quarter of the season trying to make a playoff run, and we're only 2 weeks into it. So if he needs to operate within the system, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, one of the really young, exciting players out in Arizona is Kyler Murray, whether it's his rushing with his legs and getting it done with his legs, or his acumen now that he has DeAndre Hopkins. Kyler Murray, you see him potentially, I know BT said this last season for us, actually, that Kyler Murray could be in this MVP conversation at some point. I mean, not this year, but at some point. The kid can play, and you wouldn't have guessed it when he came out of college, but he can play.
No, he's in my opinion, he's in the MVP conversation right now. I mean, you look at the other quarterbacks right now, Russell Wilson, obviously you're going to throw in Aaron Rodgers the way he's played so far this year. I think Josh Allen's done a tremendous job, and you can see his growth. But Kyler Murray's right there too. And the interesting thing about his running ability is, you know, it's not on necessarily quarterback design running plays. You know, it's really like second half of games or just in the drop back passing game when nothing's there and he sees a seam. He takes off and he is lightning quick, and he's got the ability to change direction at the drop of a hat. So, I mean, I think the tough thing about the Cardinals now and really how Murray's used this to his advantage is because they have Hopkins, you have to decide what you want to do.
Yeah.
You'll get in a 3-by-1 formation and you have to decide, are you going to double Hopkins or not? Because if you're not, they're going to throw to him every single time until you do. And then if you do double him, now they've got probably a box count to run the football either with a Drake or Edmonds or have Murray potentially keep it. Or they've got a matchup on the other side with Christian Kirk or Larry Fitzgerald. So you kind of got to pick your poison, and then they run at this really fast tempo, and they throw all these screens, and so they tire out the rush. And by the second half, these defenses are gassed, and they just cannot find a way of containing Murray and being able to chase him down.
Yeah, this is a college mentality. I never thought it would work in the NFL, Brady, but it is.
Yeah. It 100% is. Like, you would hear this all the time in college ball where, you know, you'd hear a coach say to you, you're like, well, I don't care what time of possession it is. How many plays did they have to face? They always cared about the number of plays they ran because they wanted to force the defense. They wanted to dictate to the defense how many plays they had to defend. And so that mattered more to them than anything else. And I think in the NFL game, everyone would say, well, didn't Chip Kelly try that? It didn't work out. Well, I don't know. Maybe we gave up on Chip Kelly too quick. Didn't he win 10 games his first two seasons?
Yeah, he did. Like, he did.
Maybe actually he was onto something there, and we weren't patient enough, or maybe how he handled the media or people in Philly in the front office, debacle between him and Howie Roseman. Maybe it was more about that, but I definitely think they're onto something in Arizona. Their defense, by the way, is stellar. They've got a lot of different looks and things they do, and it's a young group too. And so that's another reason why they've been so successful so far.
So we're talking to Brady Quinn, of course, CBS Sports HQ analyst, played in the league a long time, Notre Dame first-round pick with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Listen, Josh Allen, he looks like he's, and we mentioned him before, but he's refined his trade over the summer. He's making those nice incremental, you know, those steps from a year-to-year basis. If I asked you, Brady, I said, is there an executive around the league, I want to incorporate two players here, that would take Baker Mayfield over Josh Allen moving forward today? Do you think there's any love for Baker, or is it all Josh Allen at this point?
No. I mean, I mean, I'll go a step further. I think after watching the Thursday night football game, considering Joe Burrow played two games and Baker Mayfield's been in the NFL 3 years, I think you'd find every single NFL exec would say, yeah, I'll go ahead and take Burrow, even right now. And so it's a little bit of an indictment on the lack of growth from Baker, but it's also – I don't want to throw it all on him. I mean, aren't they on their third head coach since he's been there? They're in another new offense.
Technically fourth.
Fourth.
Technically fourth.
Technically fourth. And it's, they're in another new offensive system without an offseason really to work on it. They've got, you know, issues on their offensive line, in my opinion. I think they were pretty bad last year. So far this year, they look a little bit better, but I still think they need to run the football more with Chubb and Kareem Hunt. But, I think when you're looking at what Josh Allen has done and his growth curve and pass, and finally they've given him a number one wide receiver, now you see what he's capable of. Like, yeah, he's refined his footwork, and I think that's helped him become a little more accurate. But honestly, this wide receiver group was second in the league in drops last year. It's not like people like act like, you know, completion percentage is a you know, determination of accuracy. It's really not when you have that many guys dropping passes. Now with Stephon Diggs, he's got a more legitimate number one. John Brown's really emerged too. You've got Beasley, you've got Knox, you got the rookie too that they throw in there. And then you've got him running the football, which when I called a game last year with him, he kind of told me, he said, look, I get into a better flow of the game when I'm a part of the rushing attack and I actually get hit or deliver a hit. So he likes doing that. So bottom line is, I think the growth with Brian Daboll, their OC, and all the other pieces within this offense, now adding in Diggs, it's one of the reasons why he's leading the league in passing yards right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. The Thursday night game tonight will feature Gardner Minshew versus the Beard and Ryan Fitzpatrick. But Tua is still waiting in the wings there. When do you think we see Tua? And after you answer the Tua question, tell me your thoughts on Gardner. Can he be their guy?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'll start off with the Tua question. I think there's a couple things working against them. I mean, there's always going to be the thought in the back of everyone in the front office and Brian Flores' head about his hip. and whether or not he is ready to take a hit, right? We haven't seen him in a live game action, and that's the biggest concern, I think, given the past 12 months, all what he's gone through. So that's the first concern. The next thing is, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick played in Chan Gailey's system, their offensive coordinator. He's going to be light years ahead of Tua Tagovailoa and the ability to get them in the best possible play, which, you know, you might say, well, why is that so significant? Well, if you're a roster devoid of some talent, or you have hard time actually making plays or getting production, then you need someone out there who then, if it's a bad play call, he can adjust, because you don't have the playmakers on the outside to be able to overcome that when you've got a bad call versus a tough defense. And so Ryan Fitzpatrick probably fits that too. So until Tua either can reassure them from a health standpoint in whatever capacity, or has a better, you know, a stronger understanding of the offense, or Ryan Fitzpatrick just plays, you know, flat out awful, I think it's going to be Fitzpatrick for a little while, at least a few more weeks. Maybe we revisit it. As far as Minshew goes, I honestly thought he would struggle given what's around him. And I don't know if DJ Chark will play or not tonight, but Laviska Shenault, the way Jay Gruden's using him, both as a receiver and running the football, James Robinson's emerged. This offensive line, I think if they stay healthy, they've actually done pretty well too. He's playing, you know, out of his mind right now. And he's playing like a guy that they should give a chance to, depending on how things work out this year, because if he keeps playing like this, like, I don't know that if they're going to be able to move up to get a Trevor Lawrence or maybe a Justin Fields in next year's draft. I think they might not even be in the top 10 if they keep looking the way they do right now.
Mm-hmm. Listen, this was really informative. Great job, Brady. We hit so many of the names people wanted to hear about. Great stuff. Appreciate you hopping on, buddy. We got a roll, but that was really good. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, you got it. Brady Quinn, CBS Sports HQ analyst, and as you could tell, a good one. Update from ACK coming up after that. Dana White playing with fire. We'll tell you why and what is he up to. That's next, right after ACK's update right now. Nice, Diesel. All right, Sunday, the NFL on CBS features some nice matchups. The league's top contenders, the Raiders taking on the Pats on the road. Deshaun Watson and the Texans trying to get right. They'll take on the Steelers. It all starts with JB and the guys getting you set up for Week 3, which begins tonight. But the NFL Today crew's got you ready to roll on Sunday, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. So in about 20 minutes, 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, Teek and I will get into a little Lamar versus Patty, the wrap-up to Week 3 Monday. Star-studded 5, you know, a platinum of it's going to be awesome. I mean, that is, we don't need to hype that up. That just sells itself. Let's get into this, though. And we were going to originally do this in inbounds, out of bounds, but we decided not to. We wanted to expand on this. There's just too much to squeeze into a minute and a half or two. Here's the short version. Basically, Colby Covington continues to race bait, and as a result, you know, drawing ire, not just from his, you know, fellow fighters, but his sponsor, Reebok, has obviously chimed in. Now, you might say, before we get to the many layers here, what is Dana White's reaction to this? Here's his reaction.
These guys all have their own causes, things, you know, all their own beliefs. We don't muzzle anybody here. We let everybody speak their mind. I don't know what he said that was racist. I don't know if I heard anything racist that he said.
Okay. Some of the things that he said, I mean, if they weren't racist, they're certainly injecting race into the equation.
Yep.
He talked about Black Lives Matters. Mm-hmm. He called Tyron Woodley a communist who hates America. He took a shot at his Nigerian rival, Usman, basically using the term little tribe. Mm-hmm. These are all quotes, smoke signals. So he's played off some stereotypes. He's tapping into something that is very dangerous, very aggressive, and very inflammatory. First of all, I think we all understand where Covington's coming from and whatever, but what do you think about Dana, and not whatever, that it's okay, but it's the onus is on Dana White, I think, for, certainly not Covington. This is his style. What do you think about Dana White taking the approach we just heard?
Look, this is the challenge of the UFC, because Dana White, like any company that's trying to operate in the pandemic, they've struggled. You know what I mean? It's just different. No fans, so the gate's different. We've heard this in other sports as well. The logistics of travel have been significant. And so it's not as easy going and smooth as we want it to be, want it to seem. Yes, they are having fights go off, but there are some issues, I'm sure, behind the scenes. And Dana White doesn't want to upset the apple cart, especially with all some of these good fights that he's having go on. And Colby Covington versus Tyron Woodley was a great fight on Saturday. And it went, what, 4 rounds or whatever it is. And Tyron Woodley ultimately, you know, tapped out. He TKO'd. But it was afterwards when Colby Covington started saying these divisive things that just there's no place for them in sport, because he's making allusions to what's happening politically in this country and tying it back to, you know, a fight. Like, so he's making the connection between and this is the literal interpretation, a white guy fighting a black guy. This is now a right supporter fighting Black Lives Matter. Like, that's the draw that you tend to piece together, and it's divisive. Now, you can get away with it in the UFC because it's not a team sport. You know, there's no locker room. There's no, I don't know, there's no...
He doesn't have to answer to anybody but himself.
Yeah, exactly. He answered, yeah. Who cares if nobody likes him? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, he's going to get a chance to fight because he's good, is a good fighter.
Yeah.
And until Dana White disavows rhetoric like this and says, I don't care how good you are, and I don't care how, you know, how many supporters you have behind you, you're not allowed into this promotion if you're going to talk like that. Until Dana White does that, there's no incentive for him not to keep espousing things that are divisive and, as his fellow UFC fighters have said, are racist and outright racist.
Mm-hmm. Listen, to me, and I know there's been some good fights, but in terms of like really interesting storylines and that juice, the UFC's got a little boring. To me, it's gotten a little boring. And as a human being, I don't know how I can state this more succinctly and directly than this. As a human being, I don't like this, all right? From a business point of view, it's brilliant, but it's reckless. And it's equal parts brilliant and reckless, and here's why. It brings in an element of energy that is impossible to recreate otherwise. There's nothing contrived or fake about, you know, racial matters or racial tension or matters of race, okay? And my concern, again, that's why I say as a human being, I don't like this at all, because it's going against everything that we're trying to get away from and solve. But from a business point of view, think about this here, Teak. You know, when he fights as Covington, when fans are back in the arena, all right? And this should worry people, but you know, inevitably, it's going to, if he keeps this up, and he will, it's going to morph into, all right, let's say it's a 20,000 seat venue.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say there's 10,000 fans for Covington who maybe believe in everything that he espouses. And then there might be 10,000 people that look the complete opposite, feel the complete opposite. And you know what happens at that kind of situation?
Yeah.
When the fight's over, the streets get nasty and the streets get reckless.
Yeah. And that's what the fear is.
Yep.
And right now, and again,
but it brings business.
It does. And this is why Dana White can get away with doing this right now, because he doesn't have to worry about an in-person altercation outside of the ring, right? He doesn't have to worry about fans feeling one way, either supporting Colby Covington or hating him, getting into a confrontation and fighting in the stands. And something, we've seen this happen in Raiders games, you know what I mean? And so that, because there's no fans, Dana White can afford to be aloof about it. But it also makes you question Dana White. What's more important? Is it more important to grow your business, or is it more important to be principled and stand for something? And in this case, an anti-racist, bend amongst your promotion. And I think we're finding out the answer. And again, I'm not like decrying Dana White and not putting him in a bad place, but the fact that he won't address this is frustrating.
Well, he did address it. He just said, I'm not going to muzzle anybody. He absolutely addressed it. He didn't just say no comment. He said, this is, in essence, this is how we do business. And if you don't like it, don't watch or don't come. That's pretty much what he said.
And unfortunately, that's going to happen. And
I don't know. Because as twisted as this is, boy, this is going to get people to reach for that, you know, $50 for pay-per-view. It's going to. Teak, there's been great technical fights lately. I don't dispute that. Where's the splash? Where's the juice?
There is no splash.
Where's the energy? Where's the storyline? There is none.
Yeah, I mean, Tyron Woodley lost this fight not because he supports Black Lives Matter. And as he said, as Colby Covington said, this is his quote: "He's a communist. He's a Marxist. He stands for criminals. He hates America. That's why he got broke tonight." He lost because, as you just mentioned, Tyron Woodley is a technical fighter, right? He's a wrestler who, you know, learned to be an MMA fighter and was a champion for the UFC, but he's very technical and in an emotional, violent sport like the UFC. Sometimes you need a little extra, a little something else.
Yeah, you do.
And so
you do.
That's why he lost, not because of, you know, the narrative that the victor is creating, that is Colby Covington is creating. And so is it dangerous? I mean,
it could be,
but it's not. Because right now the arenas are empty and there is no hangover other than the story that gets told. Unless, you know, all of the other fighters in the UFC promotion band together and say, we refuse to, you know, fight him. You know, that's not going to happen. I know it's not going
to
happen.
I think they'll line up to fight him. Out of anger.
But what's worse, anger or apathy? That's
well, in the fight game, apathy.
Yes, that's what I mean. So,
I'm meaning that's more detrimental to the people who, if they follow what you said, to be apathetic to a guy that's going to put money in your pocket is bad for you.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's the problem.
So you'd rather line up and try to kick his ass. Here's the other thing you have to consider. Trump called him. And if President Trump gets reelected, you know, Covington's got 4 more years, you know, to do this. Now, if Trump is not elected, you know, suddenly the hat that he wears it doesn't matter as much. I mean, it just kind of goes away a little bit for sure. Not that he can't, you know, rifle off, you know, inflammatory things, whatever. But I don't know. This is really, to me, the UFC has become a little bit, and I think it's a good analogy. You know, I used to love wrestling, and there were just certain matches where you got a great technician, the guy's phenomenal. You know, like Ricky Steamboat was a great, phenomenal wrestler. But after a while, you needed Ricky in the ring with a guy who can work the microphone because you just needed that extra pop, that splash. To have, you know, two guys roll around like Bret Hart and Ricky Steamboat or somebody like that for an hour, yeah, I loved it because I was a real wrestling fan, but the average fan needs that juice that, like, Piper would draw you in with the microphone. And right now, you got a lot of Steamboats and a lot of Bret Hart. I know this is an antiquated reference. I get that. But a lot of Steamboats and Bret Harts rolling around the octagon, but not a lot of Pipers. And you need a Piper. You need a Roddy Piper in the fight game.
He wants to be a heel. He's the bad guy. And he's embracing being the bad guy. He's just doing it very close to the edge, so to speak. Very close to the edge.
No doubt. No, I mean, in certain spots, he's crossing the edge.
Yeah, look, the ironic thing is that in the old WWF, mm-hmm. which is now obviously the WWE, they were outright racist stereotypes.
Yes.
Like, outright. And we embraced and loved them. It's a different world, though, in 2020.
No doubt about it. You watch some old YouTube footage, you can't believe what they got away with back in the thing. You cringe. You watch them like, wow, he really said that? All right, Lamar and Patty. That's next, the quarterbacks, Ravens, Chiefs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.